Blog Talk Radio.
I've never been a bystander and try to live my diversity message in all that I do. The recent comments of Donald Trump and now the absurd Twitter post of his number one black surrogate, Pastor Mark Burns, will be the topic of my radio show today. I invite you to join me for the show and think about where we stand in terms of this political process that we're in the United States. And we're going to try to dial back the hodgepodge of stereotypical rhetoric that's being hurled aimlessly at the black and Latino communities. My special guest on today's show will be political commentator, Boston Herald columnist, and contributing commentator to the Commonwealth Magazine, Kevin Peterson. We'll talk about the rise of Trump, his theatrical events yesterday in Mexico and Arizona, and why most, and I emphasize most, black people and Hispanics are not supporting him in November. Hate on steroids. That's what the Trump machine is churning out as he flip-flops on several issues, including building a wall between the United States and Mexico. Listen to today's show and understand why your vote in November matters so much in a country divided about the Trump bag of tricks. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. We have a lot to cover. This is a very heady and very serious issue, and I probably need about three shows to do this. We're probably going to discuss this again next week because it is so important and there is so much going on between now and November 8th. Well, in addition to that, let me just give you some information about my business, a lot going on with it as well. On November 3rd, 1 week or just a couple of days before our campaign, we are going to have our 10th multicultural conference. I have a tremendous lineup of individuals who are going to be on board. Jim Rooney is one of our keynote speakers. He is the president and CEO of the Boston Chamber of Commerce. Pat Sullivan, who is president in the Massachusetts the branch offices of People's United Bank, and also just a wonderful, wonderful young emerging celebratory person, Roxanne Cook, who is senior vice president at Eastern Bank, and tons of other people all talking about diversity, multiculturalism, and inclusion on November 3rd. Registration is now open. You can go to the website mssconnect.com, mssconnect.com, find out all the information about this wonderful conference, how you can register, how you can be a part of it. And also, we have kicked off the promotional campaign for our two trips in 2017, the trip to India in February of 2017, and the trip to Cuba, our very first time to Cuba in 2017 in June. We have a brand new website for that, and you can find out all the details about those trips. They're open to the public. It's just amazing what we're going to do in both countries, and that's at MSSTravelandTours.com, MSSTravelandTours.com. All these websites are interconnected, so if you don't remember one, just remember my name, go there, and it'll take you where you need to go. But we're very excited about what's taking place with our November 3rd conference and also the two trips that are taking place in February and June of next year. All about multiculturalism. We truly are trying to expand this topic so that we're taking people around the globe, we're talking about these very issues, and we are engaging in dialogue both on this radio show, online, and with our video stream process that we have going forward. So I'm going to bring our guest on right now. He is a delightful and very esteemed individual here in the greater Boston area. I read his commentary that was in the Commonwealth Magazine a couple of days ago, and I said, let me bring him on board. He and I are of one accord. talking about Donald Trump. And also, if you go to, again, tellcarol.com is my main website, you go to the blog section, you'll be able to link to his article and also link to a statement that was put out, an official statement put out by the Detroit branch of the NAACP along the same lines, just really setting the record straight with Donald Trump. Kevin Peterson, thank you so much for being a guest on my program, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, I'm happy to be on, Carol.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to move into what happened yesterday. I think that was just a completely theatrical stage that was set up for his base. But talk to me about your concept and why Donald Trump is doing what he's doing now in this country and with this presidential race, Kevin Peterson.
Well, I think that Donald Trump is, he's not a politician. He's more, in my opinion, a demagogue, a person who has who was born rich and has bullied folks all his life. And just recently, after bullying immigrants at the beginning of the campaign, he's performing a type of bullying on black people. So what I was getting, the point I was getting to in Commonwealth is that, black people are not buying what he's selling. He's made appeals to the black community around the Democratic Party's disloyalty towards African American people in terms of them supposedly not responding to needs within the black community nationally. But I see it as Donald Trump being totally disingenuous and on a certain level being racist. There's a history that Donald Trump brings to the presidential campaign that doesn't jive with him being a supporter around black causes. In the early 70s, mm-hmm. he was sued by the Justice Department for around housing discrimination. He and his father were sued. And then there were instances in New York over the years where he has said unflattering things about African-American men and boys and sort of jumped on the bandwagon in terms of denigrating black people. Mm-hmm. So he comes into this race with an unflattering background, and his recent appeals to black people is quite frankly embarrassing.
Right. Yeah, it's there was a book written about his activities in the 80s and the casinos that he once owned, and one of his employees said, I guess a senior ranking employee said, that he actually had a practice of moving his black employees off the trading floor, off the gaming floor, if there were high rollers who came in who didn't like black people. He just sort of moved them aside and got them out of the way so that they wouldn't have a chance to see them. The real estate activities in the 70s is well known now, and the settlements that took place, and just the list goes on and on and on. My big concern, and I have to speak out, and I put in my newsletter today when I was promoting the show, I said, I'm a Democrat. Yeah. I am I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. Full disclosure, I was an independent many years ago, thought about becoming a Republican. So I look at things from all perspectives. I also attended the inauguration for President Obama in 2009 and George H.W. Bush in 1989. And I've been to both Democratic and Republican conventions. So in my inbox, I get Trump emails. I get Trump emails. I get Hillary emails. So, and I get I get the conservative information. I get the Democrats. So I'm looking at it from all sides. But when you have the conservatives like Eric Erickson and some of the others that I get who are publicly denouncing Donald Trump, you got a problem.
You got a problem. You have a problem because in a very real way, Donald Trump does not represent traditional conservatism or the traditional Republican Party. He is so far to the right. I think the phrase that's been manufactured lately is that he represents the alt-right, the alternative right.
Correct.
Which goes to the extremes of the party. It was birthed out of, in some ways, the Tea Party movement, which
right.
was birthed out of a anti-President Obama stance. And Donald Trump mm-hmm. has also showed himself in his initial sort of attacks on President Obama, claiming that President Obama wasn't born here. That
right.
whole birtherism movement against President Obama
mm-hmm.
reflects the Tea Party movement, and in general reflects the alt-right movement. So George Will, people like David Brooks, who's a conservative on the New York Times editor,
right.
Their rejection of Trump is to be respected, and it's a natural rejection
yeah.
of Trump
mm-hmm.
from a conservative, traditional Republican Party stance. He is not a traditional Republican. He reflects
no.
a virulent, odious form of racism that, in some ways, is not accepted within the moderate Republican Party. So it's good that we see those traditional Republicans, George Bush, former
mm-hmm.
President George Bush, and a number of dignitaries of the party leaders refused to go to the Republican convention in Cleveland
but
this summer.
Convention, exactly.
Because Trump as the nominee really doesn't reflect the true values mm-hmm. of the Republican Party.
So I'm glad that you've given the history of this. Several years ago in 2007, I'm pretty sure it was 2007, when the Tea Party was beginning and forming and people were not paying that much attention to it, but obviously we know where they've taken that party. On my show, on this radio show, on another platform, I had Victor Gold, and you may not know who he is. He is a Republican consultant, and
mm-hmm.
At that time he had written a book called The Invasion of the Party Snatchers. That's
uh-huh.
probably out somewhere, but he, at that time, this was in 2007, so that's what, 7-8 years ago, he was very concerned about the Tea Party and concerned about the direction of the Republican Party. Now, he was a Goldwater supporter in 64, so I have to put that
mm-hmm.
out there as well. But
mm-hmm.
I found him very interesting, and I never forgot about his comments and just his real concern about the party, where the party was headed, looking at it and being very concerned about this Tea Party movement. And now we have, I think you're correct, just the morphing of the Tea Party, and they lost badly on Tuesday in a couple of congressional races and Senate races.
That's right.
As well. But now you see Donald Trump, who rode their coattails, came in, we thought he was like a fly, an annoying fly, but started with the birther accusations back, several years ago with President Obama, and it didn't stop. So when you have this alternative concept going on in a party like the Republican Party, and then you have someone like Trump coming in, then you've got 16 people running for office, clearly he's going to make the most noise, and those who are not informed, and I'm sad to say most Americans aren't informed. They don't read, they don't want to know about history, and they don't understand the consequences when you have an alternative candidate like this and the damage that can be done. Those key factors, and just the old saying, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. You have all of that combined with Donald Trump. But the thing is, most black people, because we've been through so much in this country, we can see through phoniness quicker than anybody else. I think most black people understand this guy is not on the level. Kevin?
That's right.
Your thoughts?
You're absolutely right. And the recent national polls sort of reflect that in terms of Trump's favorability among African Americans. It rates at between 0% and 1%, or 0% and 2% nationally.
Right.
So
right.
black people are very attuned to his dog whistles. They hear both the coded forms of racism in his speech and the uncoded or the blatantly racist aspects, and black people don't tolerate it. I mean, one of the interesting things that come out of this contest between Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, and Donald Trump is the opportunity for the country to see blatant forms of racism. The whole talk about that some were making, the whole commentary that some were making about living in a post-racist society after President Trump was
elected,
really turned up on his head and seen as something entirely absurd now, given Trump's comments and the following that Trump has around the issue. I mean, you think back in during the primaries where black people were literally being assaulted and beaten up within
those
Trump rallies, and there was no hue and cry from the candidate, Trump, about how that may have suggested racism when it was very clear. So what this race shows us is that racism in its most virulent form still exists in this country. Of course, we don't have lynching. We don't have segregated public accommodations.
Schools or housing.
But schools and housing. But we have this form of racism that is still palpable. And just in terms of the country sort of reflecting on race and looking for opportunities to heal itself around race, this whole Trump episode gives us the most glaring example about how race remains very, very much present in the society.
I think we should all be aware of the fact that he started off, first of all, wanting to build a wall. He has sort of flip-flopped a little bit but came down hard on it last night after leaving Mexico. So here we've seen our Latino brothers and sisters, those in the Hispanic community, who have just been trashed from the beginning from him and the Mexican judge that he questioned and Attorney Khan and his wife, who were Gold Star parents, and the comments that he made about Mrs. Khan and Mr. Khan after the Democratic Party. So the list goes on and on. Women, the comments that he made many years ago with Rosie O'Donnell and the open fight that he had with her and the very vile comments that were made. So there, you're correct. There is a history and a track record with Donald Trump that just precedes the presidential campaign that, again, if you don't pay attention and see these kind of patterns, you'll be fooled to think, oh, this guy is going to change at 70 years old in the next 70 days. It's not going to happen.
That's right.
It's just not going to happen.
That's right. And if you don't know your history, you won't understand the present. You alluded to Senator Goldwater and his campaign for the presidency in 64 and how he was totally repudiated. His views, his extreme views, particularly on communism, were repudiated, and the Republican Party had to remake itself. It imploded under Goldwater, and it wouldn't be until 68 when Nixon sort of comes. Nixon, a more moderate candidate, much more moderate Republican candidate than Goldwater, emerges, and the party becomes legitimate once again. This party, as I see it, the current Republican Party being led by Trump is imploding, and it will be necessary to do some hard thinking around Republicans to do hard thinking around race and policy, and how to sever itself from the extreme elements of this party, so that it becomes legitimate again. I think that the Republicans will lose badly this November, and it's because of the impression that the extreme wings of the party have made within the mainstream of Republican, the mainstream of culture, local culture.
What are your thoughts, Kevin Peterson, about it? And this, I'm always baffled. Again, full disclosure, I've been in. I live in a neighborhood that's largely Republican, so I am not so deeply buried in Democratic ideology that I don't see other things around me. So I, you know, I work, I live, I have friends who are Republicans. So that's not the issue. But the issue is that boggles my mind are when Latinos and African Americans so support a candidate like Donald Trump that they just can't see the trees from the forest. And I'm particularly bringing up this Pastor Mark Burns, who I detest just because of that horrific, and I wouldn't even put it on my website. I started to, I said, nope, not going to do it. Horrific, awful comic. He had Hillary Clinton in blackface, had a sign up, and she was saying, no hot sauce, no peace. It was a total character assassination of black people where she was identified so closely with them that they had her in blackface. And this is what Mark Burns put on his Twitter feed. I immediately shot back a response to him directly, along with many others, and he took it off his website. It was absolutely vile. And to see someone like him, that Oriel, I can't think of the woman who was part of The Apprentice, I can't think of her name right now, but other blacks support him, Amorosa, thank you, Hispanics who support him without even flinching. Why is that, Kevin? Why?
Well, I think it is a form of opportunism, to be frank. It's hard for me to imagine intelligent people like Pastor Barnes and Amorosa digesting what Trump is selling in terms of race and ethnicity and think it's normal. I think they think it's not normal, but I think that what's most important for them is an opportunity to be in a place of power and be in a place of prominence. So it's I see their actions as almost as disingenuous as Mr. Trump's. It's they should be ashamed of themselves given how much they ought to know about race history and ethnic history in the country. That's the only way that I can really sort of interpret that. Because otherwise, it's just so blatantly in your face.
It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, I've had lots to do, get this multicultural conference launched and my trips. Sure. I've had work to do. If you're not careful, you can spend so much time online battling this other side, I think the dark side, that you can lose perspective of all things in front of you because it's just so intense. My thought is clearly like-minded people have to really think about going to the polls in November and voting.
Yeah.
Regardless of your ideology or whatever, the important thing is voting. I actually talked with a neighbor last week trying to convince him, hey, you don't have to vote for Hillary Clinton. You can vote for Gary Johnson. He was a good person. And Bill Weld was our governor. He's a good person. Or Jill Stein. So you have alternatives, but the critical thing is going to the polls and voting, because my big concern is that there are going to be some people who will still think their vote doesn't matter and will, risk the possibility of this demagogue getting in office. What are some other things
and
that
that's
are
not far, and
that's
not, yeah, and that's not too far from reality. The most recent poll, national poll at least, has only a 5% gap between Donald Trump and Secretary Clinton, and that is in some ways within the margins of the possibility of Trump winning the national vote at least. So it's important, right, for people of in their right mind and who have been thoughtful around politics to exercise their right to vote. It's also important. Carol, I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but so this is something I preach all the time. It's important for us to develop a national civic literacy curriculum so that in every public school between the 8th grade and the 12th grade, there is imbued a strong sense of what democracy is about, what the importance of voting, the importance of being engaged in your community. You're engaged in your community, you're going to be engaged on the issues. And the problem is that we don't have a national curriculum on civic literacy. We don't teach civics in our public schools for the most part. In Boston, we stopped teaching civics in 1974, almost two generations have graduated from schools in Boston without having a clear formal education around civics. So part of the phenomenon around the Donald Trump movement is the lack of understanding that a lot of people have about politics and policy. And so when Donald Trump can get up and not talk policy specifics at all, people buy it, thinking that that's the substance of politics when it's not the substance. You're politicking on the national level. You need to be talking about clear policies that that help people for the most part. Part of our problem is the lack of civic literacy.
Now, that's a very good point. I had my 5- and 8-year-old granddaughters with me all summer, and they were inundated with the news programs that I watched. We would switch from their programs and switch on the programs that I wanted to watch, some on cable and elsewhere, many of them related to politics. Tell us how people can get in touch with you. I know that your initiative deals with civics and how important it is. And tell us again how people can get in touch with you, Kevin Peterson.
Well, you can reach me via my website, www.thenewdemocracycoalition.org. You can send an email to me that way. Or you can send an email to me directly at newdemocracycoalition@gmail.com. newdemocracycoalition@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, Kevin Peterson, and shoot a message to me at any time to talk about politics and civic engagement.
Great. And also, you can go to my website, just my name, CarolCopelandThomas.com, and that's Carol with an E. Go to the blog section for today, and you can actually read, you can follow the link and read the article that was in Commonwealth Magazine that Kevin Peterson wrote, and read this very well-done response from Dr. Wayne Anthony, who was the president of the Detroit branch NAACP in response to Donald Trump. Speaking of that, Trump is going, that article, both are at my blog and you can get them directly from there. Trump is going to Detroit this weekend. He gives the impression he's going to talk at a black rally or a black group, black church. No, he's going to speak to one black pastor there, one person, and possibly one other person there. So again, you have to read the fine print and see how people are being duped, how things are really rolling out, and take a stand and say, no, enough is enough. Kevin Peterson, thank you very much for being a guest on my program. We will talk again because this subject is not going away anytime soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to coming back on again.
All right. Take care. So, again, my word of advice to everyone is to read the fine print. Look to see what's going on. Engage in dialogue and discussion. I know that some people are very reluctant to talk. They, you know, they have jobs, they have careers, they don't want to rock the boat, they don't talk about politics. This is too serious not to talk about. This is just way too important to ignore and say, oh, my opinion doesn't matter, or I'll just let other people talk for me. And most importantly, this election, getting yourself registered. Again, you can go to mssconnect.com, mssconnect.com. At the bottom of my website, I have a link to a whole list of all of the primary deadlines and when you have to register to vote for the general election. You can go there and find out all that information. Information, being informed, having some kind of opinion, engaging in some kind of dialogue, and stop being a bystander. Kevin brought up a very good point that in the Boston public schools and in school districts around the country, civics, which I grew up on, have been eliminated and have not been a part of the curriculum for at least two generations. So it's very easy to fall victim and think that things are the way people say they are if you don't really read the fine print and understand how important this election and this particular candidate is in terms of the future of the United States. Thank you so much. We're going to talk more about this next week. Remember, empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. Carol Copeland Thomas signing out. Had a number of guests in the chat room. Thank you much. Pass this show on to others. We'll see you next week.